Let us hear this magnificent psalm, this psalm of David that many of us have clung to in our lives, in the most difficult portions of our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our most uncomfortable meal. What was yours? I'm not sure what Winston Churchill's was, but all I do know is that when he said, when I ate and when I sat with Joseph Stalin, and he threw his head back and laughed, I didn't know whether those teeth were meant to eat me up eventually. Of course, they were meant to eat him up eventually. Have you been in the position of having to, as it were, eat in the presence of your enemies? Well, I have, and the food just won't go down. It simply just sort of stops, and you have to force down every bite because you don't know if they're going to eat you up, as Stalin was suspected of doing to Churchill. What is your most uncomfortable meal? Well, we have many trials and tribulations in this life. We have many difficulties that come our way, many things that make us wonder if we're going to make it through. Many times when our hands get cold, does your hands ever get cold like mine do when you're in a really difficult spot? I've always been told that I have an immediate response to fear and danger, and it's not a good one. I sort of freeze up. But the good news today is that there is one who stands beside us and with us in the hour of our difficulty. I'm reminded of this psalm when I was going into back surgery many years ago. The best I remember, I had the doctor repeating it with me, and before I got through with it, I was out. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. There is a great contrast in this first line of this great psalm between the Lord and the shepherd. Who is this Lord who is the hope and the answer? James Montgomery Boyce wrote of this in his commentary on the psalm. He said, if ever a psalm could stand on a single line, it is the first line. In fact, it can stand on only part of a line, the part that says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. It is an amazing juxtaposition of ideas, he says. The word Lord is the English translation of the great Old Testament personal name for God, first disclosed to Moses at the burning bush. The Lord means I am who I am. I always was and I always will be. He is saying, He is the self-sufficient one. He needs no wisdom from anyone. He has all wisdom in himself. He needs no power. He is all powerful. And so we come to this one, this Lord, who is our shepherd. Now, can you imagine me as a shepherd? A lot of people can who know my background. I grew up, like Derek Thomas, on a dairy farm, at least for a while. And then we turned the dairy herd into a beef herd. And I cannot relate to my ancestors who, when they came to Georgia from the Fayetteville area, brought sheep with them. Because when the sheep got down there and they began to dip turpentine, the sheep got that turpentine in their wool, and that was the end of the sheep culture. Unfortunately, it was not the end of the cow culture. I have been chased by a cow, treed by a cow, stepped on by a cow. And in the end, I had to be the shepherd for cows. When my dad died, very sadly, when I was 25 years old, all of our cows were going to have to be sold. And we had placed them in a field that had been harvested, but much corn had been knocked down, and there was plenty there for them to eat. Unfortunately, this field was 3 miles from our house, and we did not realize it. But wild dogs were killing the baby calves. And when I found the evidence for that, I realized I'm going to have to sleep down here. Well, not being a camper, I slept in the car. And all night, everything seemed quiet. I had parked this car in the middle of the herd. And I stayed awake most of the night on that back seat. And just about dawn, I began to drift off and was awakened by barking. And here I look out, and one little calf is left. The whole herd is gone. I don't know where they are. The mother has left her calf, and I am the shepherd now. And I have my granddaddy's double barrel shotgun. And I realized I can't fire at this dog without killing the calf. So I had to just fire into the air. And I did scare the dog away. But I realized I was the shepherd for a moment. I was the one who was taking care of that little calf, who was protecting him from being literally eaten alive by his enemy. And my enemy, ultimately. And so, as I thought about this psalm, I said, Craig, can you really relate to this? And I said, yes. It all comes back to me now. 33 years ago. I didn't even know I'd lived that long. There I was, the shepherd. And I could do a little bit for that little calf. But ultimately, I knew that it would take somebody much more experienced than I was to save him ultimately. And much more, I began to relate as I thought of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want, why? Because he is the great God of history. And he has chosen to be a shepherd for those he has called to himself. And that is the good news. And in that calling that he has given, in that calling, he has said, you can lie down in green pastures. Now, we had green pastures. I would stand on a hilltop and look out across our green pasture and think of how beautiful and marvelous it was just to get that view. And so I relate to that as well. I could stand, I could have even laid down at the particular point I'm thinking about in that green pasture here on earth. But the Lord promises not only a green pasture here, but he is promising much more than that to those he calls his sheep. And we've all heard about how stupid sheep are and how difficult they are to work with. And I read again of how a sheep can, simply a heavy one in particular, can somehow turn over and can't get up. Unless the shepherd comes and quickly works with that sheep and rights that sheep and gets him back on his feet, he will lie there and die because he simply has lost his balance. And we're told that the shepherd can make us lie down in green pastures, and he's going to take care of us in those green pastures where he takes us. That is good news for us this day. He leads me beside the still waters. How I remember my parents stopping me from going to the pasture because they saw me rolling down the hill one day toward the pond. They were not confident that I knew how to deal with still waters. And so the Lord comes to us, though. And he says, I will lead you beside the still waters, and I will take care of you, Craig, and I will be with you. He restores my soul. Do you ever feel that you're at the bottom when everything has gone wrong and you're disappointed on all fronts? He says, I will restore your soul. He shall restore your soul. He will put you back together in the face of the gravest disappointment. All we need do is call upon him. And we've all had disappointments. We have had family members who we did not know what else to do with or for. We have had financial situations that completely left us without root or branch to know what else to do about. All your pine trees blow down because they're diseased from the state nursery. The Lord can restore your soul even in the face of financial loss. It's his mercy that keeps us. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name is a great name. I am that I am, the Lord. There at the burning bush, that's the first time it's used, but it's seen 4,000 times in the scriptures. And he is the God of whom we have to do. He is the one. He is the Almighty God, the eternal God, the one who was and is, as I've already said, and always will be. And I am not righteous. I have not kept the Ten Commandments. I can't even keep them for 10 minutes because somewhere my thought will wander into forbidden ground. But it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That means he will lead us to the right place. He will make us right. He will keep us. And of course, ultimately, righteousness does not come from us. We are sinners, and we know that the wages of sin is death. And something has to be done to make us righteous. And somebody has to do something to do away with death. And it was all prophesied that one would do that. And we read of him, and I jump ahead to this business about the table that gets prepared. A table gets prepared. And in the light of the sheep, there were table lands where the sheep could be led to. And the idea was, apparently, that those table lands would be prepared for the sheep. The poisonous roots would be pulled up. The plants that were harmful would be done away with. It would be scouted out, and there would be a great table land for the sheep upon which to graze. I shall prepare a table You shall prepare a table, I should say, before me in the presence of my enemies. What does the Bible say of our great enemy? What is our greatest enemy? The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And how is it done? How can it be done? It was prophesied, as I was going to say a minute ago, in Isaiah 25, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined, and he would swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. Now, don't let me lose you. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. That comes again into the book of Revelation. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye. You see, there was one coming who was able to do righteousness for us, who was able to lead us in the paths of righteousness, and who was able to prepare a table before us in the presence of our greatest enemy, that is sin and death. Who was it? Who would be the one who would make righteousness available to us? Who would be able to prepare this table? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah and every other one. You see, we've talked about it 2 weeks ago with that fast meal that we talked about, how the children of Israel prepared to flee from Egypt by the Passover, and how the lamb's blood was put over the doorpost, and how when the angel of death saw that blood, he would say to himself, someone has already died here. And he would pass on to the Egyptians, to the unbelievers. But to those who believed, who were under the blood, they were seen as already dead and set free from the curse of death. And Jesus, on that night, he said, I tell you, I will need not eat of it again. He was talking about the Passover. Until I eat of it in my Father's kingdom. Until it is fulfilled in my Father's kingdom. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you as a new covenant in my blood. He then was preparing a table before us. A table land, yes, but an actual table. A preview of what was and is to come through his own work, the Lord Jesus' own work. I am amazed at the scriptures, how they are the fulfillment of the fulfillment of the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I tell you, the scripture must be fulfilled in me, for he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. He told that to his disciples as he was going to the Mount of Olives, as he was headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. We can't miss this. He came out and went. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And we realize in another gospel, it is said that he prayed that 3 times, that this cup might be removed from him. It was not. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed at a distance, soon to deny him. He had already been betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and soon he would be deserted by all his disciples. And finally, he was ultimately deserted by God, his Father. How our heart quakes when we realize what it took for righteousness to come to us, for us to have a table set before us in the presence of our great enemy and accuser, who is the devil. You remember what Martin Luther said. He was praying, apparently, and the devil brought to his mind a whole lot of his sins. And he said, all right. And he wrote down all those and more. And he said, they are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was standing in righteousness that was not his, alien righteousness that had been applied to him through the work of Jesus. And that's the only way we ever get any righteousness, that is if it is given to us as a gift and we receive it that way freely. And we come to that table, and we say, nothing, as Derek so often quotes, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And they mocked him. And they said, prophesy. And they blindfolded him and said, who struck you? He was wounded for our transgression. For those who receive it. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep, in John 10. 2 of the 7 I am sayings are in John 10, and they both have to do with sheep. He says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth, in the King James, giveth his life for the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. They didn't understand him. So Jesus made it plain. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:7. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep, the real sheep, did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Jesus loves me, this I know, the little children's hymn we so often hear and so often quote. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will take away my sin. Let his little child come in. That's the good news. The door to the sheepfold has been opened through his own blood, through his being torn, as it were, the curtain being opened, the way being made now to come in. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life. And have it abundantly. Just as the Father knows me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And the question is, are you one of them? And am I one of them? I have other sheep that are not of this fold. That means that fold right there that day. I must bring them also, he said. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Can we say that under his work, receiving it? There is none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He alone could open the gate of heaven and let us in. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. He goes on to say, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hand. This is the perseverance of the saints, the true security of the believer, that we are held in the shepherd's hand, and none can snatch us out of his hand who truly trust in him. He is the all-powerful one, the great God of the ages, and he has come down from heaven. And he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That is the great news this day of our shepherd. Death then, ultimately, through him, is swallowed up in victory. What could death ultimately do to Jesus? The scripture tells us death could not hold him, for he had never sinned. And he arose from the dead, victorious. O death, then, where is your victory? It is nowhere, ultimately, if you're in Jesus Christ. All illustrations break down and have holes in them. But Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse's wife died, the mother of his young children. And we are told that on the way home, the children saw the shadow pass over them of a big, huge moving van, apparently. And they asked their dad something about death. And he said, as a Christian, when you die, it is like the shadow of that truck has passed over you. But you are ultimately safe. But the truck did not take you. And ultimately, we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And ultimately, the green pastures on earth cannot compare with those there. The table here, the grandest one, even one in Buckingham Palace, cannot compare to the one that is being set now for those who truly know the Lord and who come to that tableland of heaven as one of his sheep. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There is blessing here. There is assurance of salvation in Jesus, of going to heaven when we die. Goodness and mercy, good things, many good things come our way in this world. But then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is that final day. And many shall come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One of my favorite scriptures. Those who are grafted into Abraham's line, the line of salvation, through our shepherd. Let us pray. O Lord, now we come to you. And we remember your benediction. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant. And Lord, you can equip us with every good thing that we may do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ. to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.